Today is February 17th, 1978. My name is Patty Wagner, and today I am interviewing Mr. Frank Mazza, Jr. He will be speaking about his father, Frank Mazza, Sr., who resides at 517 Grape Street, Hamilton, New Jersey. Mr. Mazza, could you start talking a little bit about your grandparents, where they were born?
My grandfather was born in Calabria, Italy, and was coming here at the turn of the century. For the purpose of working on the railroad.
Uh-huh.
Came over with two other brothers, Joseph and Peter. His name was Dominic. My grandmother was born in Naples. At the time Grandpa came over, actually, the purpose was to work on the railroad. And at a later date, the railroad felt it would be more economical to bring women over, and therefore, my grandmother was sent over as a matchmaker at the age of 15. At that time, she met and married Dominic, and actually had four children that died prior to my dad, I guess due to conditions at that time, because they were very poor at that time. My dad was born 7 months prematurely and was put in shoebox with cotton as a form of incubation, I guess, at that time. Being the oldest of four additional children, my grandfather had an unfortunate accident causing him to become a cripple, and my dad became the second father, like most old Italian families, and had to work two jobs in order to support his brothers and sisters, his mother, and also his children. So he farmed and also worked in the coating industry.
Did he own his farm, this farm?
He acquired land as a little at a time and cleaned it. It was actually wooded land and we cleaned it.
Where was it located?
It was on Pleasant Mills Road, Boyer Avenue, and also on Main Road. For a total about, we actually cleaned 120 some acres when he had a problem with his heart. He was told that he would have to quit the farm or the factory. At the time, the farming was not so profitable, so we took the factory. And although at that time I wasn't too keen about working in the farm, I went to work for an Italian delicatessen, Luca's Bakery, for $1 a day from 7 in the morning to 11:30 at night. At the age of 10 years old. And I actually worked for a man for 2 years and learned all the bakery routes. And after 2 years, Dad's life savings was $67. And we went into what we call the dry goods business, which was really not only dry goods, it was haberdashery, pots, pans, dishes, socks, work clothing, anything imaginable, any household goods, including curtains and a grill. And we started actually with a 37 Chevy.
Do you remember the year that he started doing this?
Yes, it was 1946. 1946, Dad still continued to work in the clothing factory. My mom also worked in the clothing factory. And whenever we acquired any money, he would send me whatever monies we had to either New York or Philadelphia to buy additional merchandise to sell. He built up a route of 1,400 accounts, door to door, working 7 days a week.
Did you stay right in Hamilton doing this?
No, this was an installment trade. Most of the people we would sell merchandise, they would pay per week. And actually, I would say, go as far as Cologne, maybe almost up to Apsik in some fringe areas. And north of us, I would say, we'd go a little north of Akko. West, we would go close to Buna, and east would probably be close to Edsine.
Did the people accept you into their homes when you were going around selling?
No, it's very difficult. Initially, eventually, afterwards, they accepted you naturally, but when you're going into different ethnic neighborhoods, like we went into Egg Harbor, naturally, I've been Italian descendant, and also as a German descendant, there was a feeling of resentment initially, but then afterwards, it was accepted, and then afterwards, a binding trust, even as today, for certain individuals from that area will just call and order merchandise over the phone, sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that you have to build up over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes a long, long time to get mm-hmm. confidence of individuals, especially when you're going into their home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are places where you eventually, then afterwards, you learn to eat with them. And, I know there's
yeah.
problems, personal problems, more or less like a confessor. It's an interesting business
yeah.
for a young person, but it's a very difficult and very time-consuming business, mm-hmm. a very hard business.
How long did you sell from door to door?
I personally only went off the road in 1958. My dad continued until 1968. In 1958, I went into the furniture and appliance business. My dad continued until he retired in 1968,
mm-hmm.
went door to door.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
in 1958, I wanted to go into the furniture and appliance business.
Mm-hmm.
I started my furniture appliance business behind my home at 436 Peachtree.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, Mr. Mazza, when did you build your furniture store on 12th Street?
We officially opened in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
We stockpiled lumber from 1958 to 1962. It was all secondhand lumber.
Mm-hmm.
The lumber for the second floor was actually lumber which we tore down Haddon Heights High School.
Mm-hmm.
And the roof choices were Dial Shoe Store at Cherry Hill,
uh-huh.
which is now Calico Kitchen with DeSimone Cadillac. It's where it's at. But the lumber, so out of necessity, you become an inventor. And to save money, we actually stockpiled this lumber for 4 years and literally built the building ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There is no blueprint to that building at
mm-hmm.
Street.
How long did it take you to build it?
A year and a half.
Uh-huh.
A year and a half.
What was there before you built your building?
At the time, it was the old Nesbitt Soda Company, and our initial intentions were to just add 20 feet on the side, make the front more aesthetically beautiful, and add a little on the back, and then after realizing that we made our footings all around, I said, my gosh, we still have, we were trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and we found out if we might as well tear it down completely and start from scratch. So we put the fourth footing in and decided to make it two stories, and
mm-hmm.
And as a result of what you see today,
mm-hmm.
what we have there.
Mm-hmm.
But except for one exception, we later on added a service shop which extends over the top of the loading area, which is extended in there.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's just supported by four H columns.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever plan to make it any larger than it is today?
At the moment, we. I just was speaking to a man this morning. It's unusual what you ask them, but we have to repair the roof, so we intend to possibly put an eighth frame roof, which would give us an additional 4,000 or 5,000 square feet. Above that, we would not be able to, because of ordinances, because of law, and we physically used every inch of space there at the moment. This is the reason why we built the building we're in today, because we needed the additional space.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have the area. Not it would have been more desirable to put everything under one roof.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to pick 12th Street to put your furniture store? Did you have any other places that you wanted to put it?
At the time, yes, I owned property on the White Horse Pike next to the Ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I felt that the downtown shopping was more desirable. And when we put the building on 12th Street, I felt it was in walking distance and would be more convenient for my customers to buy. Of course, times are changing now. Hindsight's always better than foresight. If I would have stayed on the pipe, the property I owned, I mean, I could have extended the building. I could have extended on this building, which we built in 1972. Could have been added right in the back of it, and it would have been all under one roof because we had the property there. It was large enough to accommodate the plus some more for future growth. So far, we've been lucky.
Mm-hmm. Are most of your customers, are they mostly people from Hamilton, or do you get...
Well, since initially, I would say our biggest percentage were customers from Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have diversified. We went into contract sales. We do large institutions, colleges, airports. Philadelphia Airport was our job. Giant Stadium, Meadowlands, New Jersey. We did all the interior of that particular installation. Burlington County College and many colleges in this area, Stockton, Atlantic Community. So therefore, when we say most of your customers from Hamilton, we've taken surveys with cooperative with Glassboro State Teachers College, and we find that Hamilton is important to us, yes, but our marketing area is strong. We're still also strong in the retail end in Northfield, Vineland area, and Linwood. That area also is very strong, and it's just surprisingly only a few percentage points difference from the Hamilton sales. Of course, when you add your contract sales, it would distort the percentages.
Okay, Mr. Mass, would you like to talk a little bit about during the Depression time? What was your father doing during the Depression?
Unfortunately, I wouldn't be an expertise on doing on the Depression, but I could only use hearsay because my dad was born, married in the heart of Depression. He was married in 1932, June 5th. And naturally, for very little money, out of a job, and had to go to work and support a wife. And he had purchased a home on Grape Street. At that time, I believe the figure was $700 for the home. And Dad took any job he could find, and I think he went to work for the cranberry, that was called a soda, for cranberry farms for 50 cents per day, 14 hours a day, to clean ditches, which they used boots. And it was not full-time employment. It was like 3 days a week or 4 days a week. So you bought very little with the dollar and a half or $2 you had. Even though $700 a day seems very little for a home. You have to pay for a mortgage at a dollar and a half or $2 income. It's not very much.
No.
So my sister was born in 1933. And therefore, she had to support a baby also and buy milk. And with that same thumb, I have $2, you know. I later on was born in 1935, and things started to get a little better for me because my mom and he also worked. And a neighbor babysitter for us. So they could try to make ends meet, because even though he was married, he still had the obligation of taking care of his younger brothers, his sister, and his mother, too. His father, like I mentioned earlier, my grandfather was a crook, became a cripple. And there was no pensions or help like you have today. I mean, it was a sink or swim situation. So this is why he had to work all his life, 7 days a week, 18, 19 hours a day.
And he did this by going from...
Well, then at a later date, he worked at a farm. There was a farm, and also. also in the clothing business, and in the clothing industry, in the shop, working, making coats, and my mom worked in the Kessler, William B. Kessler pants department. Prior to that, they worked for Walman, prior to Kessler starting his business in Hamilton.
And they just have the two children? You said you have
just
a sister?
Myself and another. Mm-hmm.
What does your sister do?
My sister had, prior to marrying Charles Crowley, she's now president of First Federal Savings Loan. Another was vice president, secretary, treasurer of Hamilton Savings Loan, which is now Empire Savings. Another left school. She went to work for Hamilton Savings as a teller and worked herself up to secretary and treasurer of the institution. Then married Charles, which later became a competitor. and I think, I guess, for business reasons, I guess it was more desirable for her to become a housewife. And as he was elevated to, now he's now a president, but he had moved up in rank too in the First Federal Savings Loan. And therefore, it wouldn't have been a good idea to be too. A husband and wife in two different financial institutions, which have a direct conflict of interest.
Mr. Mazza, what do you see for the future of Hamilton, the growth, and would you like to see any progress?
I certainly, well, being very active in the Chamber of Commerce and being the past president of the Chamber of Commerce, I certainly encourage growth. I have total confidence in this town of Hamilton. I feel we have industrious people, and we have an excellent community, and with good orderly growth, I feel it, it's probably one of the, is now and will be one of the most desirable places to live in the state of New Jersey.
What do you think about the businesses itself in Hamilton? Do you think they should be growing more than they are?
I feel that there are certain individuals who are probably content and probably therefore letting their businesses deteriorate only by choice. I really don't feel, even though, although we experienced an economic setback nationally in the last 3 years, I still feel that you just can't sit back and complain about it. You must do something about it. And the individuals that are content and are sitting back are probably deteriorating, and there are certain businesses in our community in the past 5 or 10 years have deteriorated and eventually went out of business. But on the other hand, there are a lot of young businesses where the owner is aggressive, hungry, so to speak, working very hard, and possibly going to be very successful. And they'll probably be the leaders of our business community in time, because they have the ambition and they're working at it.
How do you feel, do you think Frank Mazza Sr. feels the same way? How do you think he feels about Hamilton?
Well, I think he probably feels if there's ever a heaven, this is it. I mean, because he really knows that he doesn't know any better. Not that he know any better. He has traveled, I mean, but I'd say naturally he was born in Hamilton. He'll probably, his choice to die in Hamilton, and possibly be my choice to die in Hamilton also. But naturally he works very, very hard. Even today, it's the age of 70, will be 72 July 4th, and he's has total confidence, I believe, in Hamilton. If you would really pin him down, though, I'm sure he would have total confidence in our community.
Mr. Mazza, how many children do you have?
I have 3 children. I have a girl and 2 boys, Donna Marie, Frank III, and Gary Raymond.
Are they younger? Are they all grown up?
Donna is now in college studying marketing, and hopefully she'll come and take some of the burden off of me. Frank was now a senior in Hamilton High School. And Gary just became a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
A teen.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.